Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to season three of What a Scream. I cannot believe it's been 3 years since I started this podcast, but here I am. I think it's the longest thing I've managed to keep an interest in without losing focus or getting bored. Very proud of myself. But yes, we took a quick break. We had to decompress after Christmas and January, and we are back now for Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, happy Valloween, whatever love you love, whether you're pro-love, anti-love, happy Valentine's Day. And we are celebrating by doing this episode on zombie love, which to me is borderline necrophiliasm. Just let that sink in a bit. And I discussed this with my special guest for this very first episode, Ruby Noir, my co-host of Movies, Murder, and Mayhem, which will also be returning this week as well. We discuss Warm Bodies from 2013, as well as Life After Beth from 2014. I think those years. I could pull the information up, but just guessing at this point. So they're around those years, though. They were very close together. We say the years in our little chat, so you'll get the correct information there, because am I a professional? No, not at all. So enjoy my chat with Ruby Noir about zombie romance. So I am delighted to welcome back for the very first episode of season three. Of course, I couldn't kick off season three without kicking off with a bang. I have my regular, I was going to say regular contributor, it's not that, regular guest, friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
Ruby Noir, how are you?
It's me, I'm back. I didn't realize it was the first episode of season three. I am honored.
Yes, because we're doing a Valentine's episode. So
we are.
It's going out on Valentine's Day. So yes.
Oh, we really got it in under the wire, huh?
Oh, yeah, it'll be edited tonight. It is 2 days before Valentine's Day.
I know. In true us fashion, we scheduled recording and then rescheduled twice.
Well, no, let's write the first time we both forgot about it.
That's true. Yeah. I think forgetting about it counts as a reschedule in my book.
An accidental reschedule.
We both forgot about it and then we purposefully rescheduled it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we are here. Finally.
We're here. We did it.
Back together.
We're back together forever.
All right. Enough of our nonsense. On to someone else's nonsense.
Yes. Valentine's Day, and we are doing romantic zombie films.
We're doing rom-zoms. The com is questionable.
Yeah. And I don't know how these films are marketed as like warm and fuzzy and whatever, but it's like, it's a bit weird, isn't it? Like being in love with a zombie. Like one of the taglines for the films is, he's still dead, but he's getting warmer. And it just, it just makes me feel a certain way. Like I know I've only recently rewatched Necromantic and Necromantic 2, but that, I don't know, something a bit uncomfortable about that.
But is it any weirder than vampires?
Yes.
Vampires are also dead.
Yes, but they don't decompose and they're not like a corpse. They're, you know, like there's a corpse element to zombies.
There is a corpse element to it. You know what? In the grand genre that is My Monster Boyfriend, it was only inevitable that we got around to zombies. Like we done wolf people and mummies and fish people and vampires. Eventually the well of non-decomposing creatures was going to run dry, and it did, and here we are.
Here we are indeed. Okay, let's just kick straight into it.
All right,
let's go with your film then. Would you like to introduce it?
Okie dokie, why not indeed? So the first movie we're going to talk about is Warm Bodies.
What am I doing with my life? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I wish I could introduce myself, but I don't remember my name. I think it started with an R. That's all I have left. It's kind of a bummer. I shouldn't be so hard on myself. I mean, we're all dead. This is my best friend. We even have almost conversations sometimes. They call these guys bonies. They'll eat anything with a heartbeat. I mean, I will too, but at least I'm conflicted about it. Nice watch.
Which came out in 2013 as a paranormal romantic zombie comedy. It was directed and written, or the screenplay was written by Jonathan Levine, based on the novel of the same name by Isaac Marion. And it stars Nicholas Hoult, Teresa Palmer, Rob Corddry, Dave Franco. I always was very confused at how high up he was
I
in
know,
the
right?
rankings. Leo Tipton, Cordy Hardrick, and John Malkovich, a criminally underused John Malkovich. And it follows a zombie called R, a recently deceased zombie called R, as he goes about his day in the abandoned mall that him and all his zombie mates live in. So we hear his inner monologue, I suppose, which is human. So he's kind of aware. He's like fully aware, but he can just be a zombie. So it's mostly grunts with the occasional words, and they want to eat brains. And the reason they eat brains is a drug metaphor. So rarely used, the good drug metaphor. They basically get a kick of human memories off of the brains of freshly killed humans, which is why they eat their brains. But then one day he runs into Julie, who has come out on like a hunt or like a scavenging mission from the local city, which has been walled off against zombies. And he's like, holy shit, she's real hot. So he kidnaps her and brings her back to his gaff and forces her to stay there by lying to her for several days. And hijinks ensue. It sort of culminates with, I don't know, do we want to spoil the end for the good people at home?
Why not?
if you don't want to be spoiled, skip ahead. But it culminates with basically the power of love brings the zombies back to life. The power of love is the cure for all the zombies, except for the bonies, which are ones that have decomposed so far that they still have really excellent connective tissue, but that's pretty much it. Like their structural integrity is excellent considering how much they're supposed to have decomposed, but they're like the really vicious ones. They're beyond the point of no return. And so yeah, so Julie eventually falls in love with R, ignores all the weird bits of it. And yeah, he comes back to life and convinces the evil military complex that they shouldn't shoot all the zombies in the head. There you go, the end.
So this the novel was based on Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and obviously with Nicholas Hoult's character being called R and Teresa Palmer's character being called Julie or whatever it is, Julia, you're like, well, that's a bit
Julie.
obvious. I mean, I think I saw this when it first came out, and I think I was in the deep throes of liking Nicholas Hoult, so I was like, I like this film, it's so cute because it's like a rom-com with zombies and it's got Nicholas Hoult in it. And looking back, I'm just like, it's just got no real development to it. It's just,
No.
it's so threadbare. It's bones, literally. It's just, I don't know.
It's interesting. So I will admit, even though I don't think this is the best movie in the world, I do have a soft spot for it because I picked this novel up many, many moons ago in Waterstones in the Jervis Centre, for those of you who are old enough to remember that. When that was still there, and it was on like the 2-for-1 table or something, and I was like, fuck it. And then I read it and I loved it. I still stand by that book as like a really entertaining read. And like it does retain some of that humor and some of that warmth. Like I don't think the two leads have any chemistry, which is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Or one of the biggest problems. That, the pacing, the editing, there's other issues. But like it still, it had a couple of good chuckles in it. I think it got me like, just about through on the laugh quotient.
Yeah.
Like I think the guy who played his like best zombie friend, like they had a really good rapport, I thought, and that was like some really fun stuff in there. But yeah, I mean, there's like it both somehow goes way too fast and way too slow all at the same time,
Yeah.
which is a real achievement if you think about it. And yeah, you're right. There's no like they've kind of stripped any of the depth out of it. Not that there was a massive amount of depth to the novel, really, but like if I remember correctly, the novel has a lot more to do with like this the them can you know it's a lot more of a sort of human rights allegory, which isn't great, I will admit, but I was younger. There's a lot more convincing of the military industrial complex to
Okay.
get on board with the not killing people, and that's where the majority of the tension came from.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel in the movie version, they tried to put all the tension into the romantic relationship,
Yeah.
which doesn't really do it for me, particularly as I said, the leads don't really have any chemistry. And Nicholas Holt is great in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, considering he doesn't say more than two words for the first little, like the first half of the film, like he is very, very good. But then, because like the first bit is so slow with them sitting in his fucking airplane house, getting to know it's a stupid montage, and then they're in a car, and I'm like, why didn't you just drive home, fucking idiot? And then suddenly he's like having full-blown conversations. Like there's no, it's very weirdly paced. The editing is not great. It doesn't do it any favors.
Yeah, it just there were several points where I was just like, hang on, have I like missed something? Just with the whole like as soon as he sees her, his heart starts beating again. And it's like, hold on, what? Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like you said at the end, where her dad, who is like head of the military or whatever, as soon as he sees that he's bleeding, he's like, oh yeah, okay, we're all gonna live happily ever after and the apocalypse is over. And it was just a bit like, what? Like
Yeah, that does not happen in the book at all. And
there could
also
have
he made
been
it into a series, so I'm presumably it lasted longer than just one novel.
and like I just feel like John Malkovich could have given such like a better performance if he was just allowed more room to be that character rather than it all having to be packaged up into this little like quick let's
Yeah.
end it conclusion.
Well, there is a question, like, do you think it was John Malkovich wasn't given the space to play, or do you think John Malkovich just showed up for a paycheck?
That
I wouldn't
is a
blame him
very good
either
question,
way.
yeah.
I'm like, I let you look, like, actors have to pay their goddamn bills too, and if that means phoning it in a zombie sand stage, what did you think of the zombies themselves? Gotta rate a zombie on the Romero scale, right?
I could have done with more zombie gore. I just think if you're gonna do zombies, like don't just be like, ugh. They're just people that walk around going, ugh. Yeah, I wanted to up the zombie ante.
Yeah, there was like one little half good bit where he basically bashes James Franco's head in.
Oh, that's always enjoyable to watch.
Yeah. And like some decent like eating of brains and whatnot, like good gray matter close ups, But I agree. I mean, I think it's interesting. It does kind of fall squarely into that kind of PG-13. I don't want to call it a horror because it's not scary and it's not meant
Yeah.
to be scary. It just has horror aspects, I guess. But I'm not totally against that kind of PG-13 horror. Like, I think
Yeah.
giving younger people more of a chance to get into it is a good thing. But it does rob the rest of us of our gore needs.
Yeah, like yeah, it would be, say if Nate is like 12 or 13. And he was like, no, actually,
Nate
no,
would
I take
hate
that
this
back.
movie.
No, he would, yeah. I was just like, I'll introduce him to zombies. No, Nate is the kind of kid that you just have to like push him in head first into the zombie genre with like Night of the Living Dead or something.
Absolutely.
We actually we've been watching the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World series, and there's some like really like bloody bits in some of the films, and he's just so blasé about it. He's just like, ah, that person died. Just like
I will never get over the first Jurassic World movie where that long lingering fucking kill shot and oh God, what's Katie McGrath? The assistant. I'm like, wow, this director really hated her. Everyone else is just like, chomp chomp, you're dead. And this is like a 10-minute shot of just like bashing her off walls. It was truly horrific, mostly because of the misogyny involved.
Yes. It's very splattery, which I completely forgot about. But sure, look, he's fine.
It's true. Yes. Oh, no. I think of all the children out there, Nate's probably the best equipped for that kind of stuff, to be fair.
So, I guess like that tween kind of, like that kind of market, I guess. Yeah, it would be, you know, it's not too bloody. It's not whatever.
I think for like younger kids or like older or even older kids, like, yeah, as you say, tweens, like it's just gory enough for them to be like, ew. but then they can get on board with like the romance of it or whatever. Mm. Oh God, what a shitty romance.
Yeah. And just the tagline from this is what I was referencing in the introduction.
He's still dead, but he's getting warmer. Which is it, because he does actively get, like, he's starting to look so much more healthy when it, by the time he gets to the city, because he sneaks in and there's a balcony scene. Yes, obviously.
Of course. And then they have that little montage where they're getting him ready.
Oh, that gave me a good laugh, I have to say. I was like, I was raging when they turned off the music, but I was like, it was self-aware enough to get some good jokes in. Mm. It just wasn't like, I don't know. I watched this very shortly after Life After Beth, so my bar was super low.
See, I think I enjoyed Life After, well, actually, no. I enjoyed a scene more in Life After Beth than I enjoyed in the whole of Warm Bodies.
A singular scene.
One singular scene. Okay.
This movie gets like a low pass for me. Like it's you know, it's not awful, but I think it's probably made for a very different audience than us as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Would I recommend it? Probably not. Unless it was like a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it depends on who's asking. No, I wouldn't, like, if you're a horror fan, unless you really love the book. I wouldn't say it's probably worth your time. You'll probably just get annoyed.
Okay, let's move on to the second film then, which is, as we said, Life After Beth, from the year afterwards in 2014.
I'm a mess, Mr. Slocum. There's just like so many things that I wish I had told her.
Me too.
Did anyone leave a message for me today? The Slocums?
Nope, not today.
I think they're avoiding me.
That's the way!
Okay.
Where is she?
Listen.
She is not dead.
I went to her grave. There's a hole in the ground.
It's a miracle.
She's resurrected.
Okay, and that's better. Why? Why is that better?
It's from the Old Testament.
Why is all my stuff in boxes now? Hey.
Beth, you're so beautiful.
I'm so happy you're back.
You don't want to eat me, do you?
Not right now.
No, I mean, like, really eat me.
Not with my parents around.
Okay. It's not fun. It's weird. End of kiss, guys.
What's going on?
I wrote this for you.
This sucks.
Well, if you could just listen to your heart.
Again, a zombie comedy film in quotation marks, written and directed by Jeff Boehner. It stars Aubrey Plaza, Dane DeHaan, Molly Shannon, Cheryl Hines, Paul Reiser, Matthew Gray Gubler, and John C. Reilly. And it follows this guy called Zach, whose girlfriend has died from a snake bite when she was hiking. And he's absolutely devastated. He visits her parents quite regularly. And on one of these visits, he discovers that they have resurrected Beth, and she is now kind of a zombie. And he, you know, has some moral quandaries about this, but eventually he kind of leans into it and starts to see Beth again with the whole bit taboo here. But then Beth starts to display increasingly violent and disturbing kind of mood swings and violent tendencies. And it turns out that a lot of the dead are being resurrected in his town, and that's pretty much it. As you said in the last one, hijinks ensue, which we always find with these zombie films. I take it you hated Life After Beth.
I fucking hated this film so much. Oh my God. It was what pissed me off about it was that there were bits that I was like, that's funny. I want to laugh at that. But whatever about it, whether it was the timing or the way that it was shot or the editing, I don't know. I just wasn't laughing. It's not a one. No, actually, sorry, that's a lie. I laughed twice. Both of those laughs were for Matthew Gay Gubler. He was the best thing in it.
Yeah, I have to say he was
And like, I know we stan him because Criminal Minds, but like, he genuinely was the funniest thing in it.
And he plays so against type. He plays like this real like macho wannabe, you know, like cop or whatever, obsessed with guns, or it's
He's like
just like
private security. The bit where he's like marching around in the background in just a fucking towel, like clearing corners and shit, like genuinely got a laugh out of me. But like the bit at the end where she, oh no, the other bit that got a laugh out of me is when she fell onto her back and couldn't get up because it's just always funny. It made me laugh in Futurama. It made me laugh here.
The bit that made me laugh was when, I don't know why, but when she's tied to the oven and he's trying to talk to her all serious, because he's like this real like emo kind of, not even emo, just like this real like whiny guy, and she's just like turned into full Cheryl from Evil Dead, where she's just like and for
No,
some
that
reason
was
that made me laugh.
like that. I wanted to laugh. And like the where she falls down the fucking cliffside, like limbs flying. Like I wanted to, like, that's funny. It is funny, but whatever way they did it, I just fucking hated it. I didn't like any of these characters. I didn't want to root for any of them, zombie or otherwise. Like, I didn't think the jokes landed. I thought the editing was terrible, and it was really weirdly paced.
Yeah, I like, I think it's weird because I think the casting of Dane DeHaan, like he's got that look about him that you're like, yeah, he's a real like, you know, he goes around with his acoustic guitar and tries to write songs, and he looks real like sullen all the time, but it just didn't work for me. Like I think someone like Michael Cera would have been a lot funnier.
I agree. Yeah. Like, I don't think that Dane DeHaan is bad at all. Like I can't even, like, I can't really blame any of the performances to a point. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I just wanted to smack him most of the time. I was like, 'cause I didn't want to be watching it. So, or watch it, like, following him. I had no, like, I didn't feel like I had any reason to root for any of the characters or to want them to go anywhere or do anything. Actually, oh yeah, sorry. I do lie. I did get one other laugh.
There.
When he played guitar at her on the beach and she just went, ugh. Oh my God, that was just a very truthful moment.
What did you think of Aubrey Plaza's performance?
I thought it was pretty strong overall, to be honest with you. I just, again, it's not the performances that bugged me. It was like so many threads were left hanging. Like the fact that all the zombies were like making weird nests in attics. What was that about? And like you, in your description, you said her parents resurrected her. Did they? Or did she just come back from the dead?
I don't know. It's never explained it.
It's
I
never
just, I,
explained.
it's an assumption by me.
Yeah, not that you actually need, yeah. Not that you need those explanations, but they were kind of left hanging in a way that you wanted them. Because he does run into other people who are acting erratically early on. And you're like, oh, the same thing is happening to them, like the mailman, and there's someone else as well that they randomly run into on the street.
Okay, I just read that she just randomly appears.
She did. Okay, yes.
Yeah, so they
But
don't actually resurrect.
I
So,
mean,
correction corner.
that's the thing. It's like it's not clear, like, and it's not, I don't think it's intentionally unclear either. Like they've just put it together poorly. Like the smooth jazz thing should have been hilarious. Like, if you walked up to me and was like, hey, you know what the best thing is to stop zombies? Smooth jazz. I would laugh. But this movie did not make me laugh with that very long joke.
But it's funny because we're talking about it now and I'm laughing at things that I didn't laugh at in the film.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm thinking about like when the granddad appears and they're just like, what the fuck? And the granddad's like, I'd like to go to the attic now. And you know, like that is funny. And Matthew Gray Goober's freaking out. He's like, I'm gonna shoot granddad in the head. Like that is funny thinking about it. But when I
Yeah.
watched it, I was like, this isn't like,
No, I think the pacing has a lot to do with it. Like the editing does not help out those jokes at all. And yeah, what was the Yeah, there's a lot of like good solid ideas in there. So it's a shame because I don't think there's any bad performances. I often think that about a lot of things. It's like sometimes there are very clearly terrible performances.
Yeah.
But often you've got like good performances that are hampered by bad editing or, you know, just like, you know, even just bad direction, like, you know, your prequel trilogy Darth Vaders, if you will. You're Hayden Christensen's of the horror world.
So, you know what I'm like? I always try and find some sort of message behind films. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was kind of trying to say, like, because we've got this exchange before Zach shoots Beth where he's like, I'm really sorry that I didn't, you know, we never did what you wanted to do and I kind of, you know, took you for granted or whatever. Do you think it's kind of this thing about like making amends for your past, otherwise it'll affect your future? Or do you think it is really that deep?
Do I think it's that deep? I kind of yes and no, because it there's a consistent message about letting things go, because and like trying to like and there's also a lot of talk about the truth and what the truth means, yeah. And whether it, you know, is the truth worth it if it's going to hurt someone and all this kind of stuff. So I definitely think there's an attempted message in there. It's as garbled as the rest of the film, quite frankly. I'm not sure. But I mean, yeah, you could certainly read it that way, definitely.
Mm.
Whether that's intentional or not, maybe.
Yeah, something about letting the past go or whatever, especially when it comes to the parents. Like, the parents are very, you know, they don't think, obviously, want to hold on to their daughter or whatever.
They do. Also, John C. Reilly was killed off screen. That was...
Yeah.
But then at the end, so it's like, it's revealed that he's like a massive perv and like sex criminal. And then at the end, he's like, I'm sorry you're gone, man. What? No. Like, it's so confusing. There's so many things just thrown out there. The casual racism about the hate with the Haitian cleaner.
there's a lot of like slurs, like ableist slurs, homophobic slurs, yes, used in this film. It's like, it really wasn't that long, like, it was 2014, it really wasn't that long ago that we can be like, oh, it was just part of, you know, it's what people were like back then. Like, it's quite it's a recent film and I'm still kind of like, oh, like, back then we didn't think it was a good thing to say.
No. Yeah, there's a lot of like little stuff like that. And then there was also the bit where, like, he goes back to his house and there's a pile of burning bodies and he's like, no, my parents. I'm like, in what world did the zombie set your parents on fire? I was like, what is this ridiculous logical leap that you have made? Like, absolutely fucking insane. And then Matthew Gray Cooper shows up again and everything's fine. But, like, it's such a weird movie and not in a fun or good way, as far as I'm concerned.
It was definitely one of those films where I was checking the runtime every 10 minutes being like, is this over yet? Is this over? And it's only an hour and a half. Like,
I watched this with my partner. He was so annoyed at every turn. He was like, why am I watching this? And I was like, I have to watch this. You don't. You can just leave the room. He was like, no, well, I'm in it now.
Yeah. And it's just got such a weird conclusion as well. It's like, he gets in the car and, you know, he's obviously next interest, Erica's in there and his mom drives off. It's just...
Yeah, and his mom is like, I'm sorry your girlfriend's dead. Hey, do you want to fuck Anna Kendrick? Like, what? What?
Yeah. So I take it you wouldn't recommend it then?
No, I don't think I would. If someone asked me what a good Zom-Rom was, or Zom-Rom-Com, obviously the original, Shaun of the Dead,
mm-hmm,
or Nina Forever.
Have I watched that?
I'm not sure it's, I have. The car, it's also very weird, but in a much better way. It's a British film from the year after, actually 2015, with Fiona Shaughnessy. as like the ghost of the ghost ex of this guy who haunts him and his current girlfriend while they're trying to have sex.
Oh, I saw the poster for it the other day and I was like, I should check that out. It looks a bit weird.
It is very weird.
Okay. Well, I will check that out then. So out of the two films then, which one would you choose?
I mean, Warm Bodies, obviously, because I didn't absolutely hate it. And it got like, it got a couple of decent laughs out of me. It has its own problems for sure. But like, you know, it's diverting. You could throw it on in the background of a Sunday afternoon if you're doing something else and not be like, ugh. What about you? Would you go for Life Over Beth because of that one scene?
I don't know, because I'm thinking about it and I'm like, at least there was some sort of, you know, person that I would recommend Warm Bodies to, just, you know, whether it's 12-year-olds or whatever. Whereas with Life After Beth, I don't think, even though that one scene made me laugh quite a lot, there is nobody that I think I'd be like,
yeah, like, who is that film for?
Yeah, like, I just don't think it has an audience anymore.
Yeah, and again, not very gory.
Yeah,
like, the special effects makeup towards the end when they got proper zombified was decent. But like, I swear to God, there's more blood and guts in Buffy.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they could have gone really well with like, because she starts to kind of decompose more and more. Mm. They could have got like gone really gross with it and actually made that funny. Like,
speaking of gross, we didn't even talk about the fact they fucking a playground in broad daylight. These sex offenders.
Yes.
Like, the absolute audacity of this film.
Yeah. It's, there is a few moments where I'm like, that's weird. Like, when they're like full on making out in front of her parents. And I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that was super gross. Oh, I blocked that bit out. But also, like, the mom is taking pictures and the dad is like, all right, kids, you know, you best stop that now. It's like, they're literally riding in front of you.
Like, riding your dead daughter. Like, let's not get that twisted.
Who's making a weird mud nest in the attic. Let's also not forget. She's like, you know, yeah, like again, that should be funny, where like John C. Reilly and Zach, I've forgotten the actor's name, when they're talking and like Audrey Plaza's just in the background carrying around handfuls of dirt. Like, yes, like, that should be funny. The concept is solid, but just the execution is lacking, unfortunately.
Definitely. So do you think, apart from this weird like 2010s section that we got, do you think there's anything left in the zom rom-com genre?
I think we can always be surprised. I think occasionally it might pop up again, but I think Warm Bodies actually probably kicked it off, the novel.
Yeah.
And then we had this brief sort of bloom of zombie romances. No, I don't think it's going to be a mainstay of the genre. Like, maybe a couple of niche niche appearances. But I think, look, if people come up with something interesting and fun to do with it, I'm always there for it. But I think we might have tapped peaked that well.
Might have peaked, although not really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see it really coming back around unless in like 20 years there's a remake of something, or I can't really.
What's your favorite monster boyfriend?
You mean like specific film or like actual monster?
Actual monster.
I obviously, there's always like vampires, but because they're the most human.
They don't really count.
However, I think like water monsters, like Shape of Water, as well as, you
exactly
know, the
character,
you know, the character in Hellboy.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's quite like weirdly attractive for a fish.
Are we basically just attracted to Doug Jones?
That might be it. Yeah.
I watched The Shape of Water recently and I was like, yeah, fish monster is definitely my favorite monster boyfriend. Give me some Black Lagoon action, you know. I like some gills.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're strong swimmers. They can save you from drowning. They can do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It's all good.
It depends if they're amphibious. Yeah,
amphibious. That's true. Amphibious or just fish.
Or just fish.
Yeah.
I'm very tired. Please don't write me notes about how terrible my vocabulary is when it comes to fish.
Although I think I do like the whole, you know, my boyfriend is a werewolf kind of thing with, like, you know, Oz from Buffy kind of.
Yes. But werewolves are also solid because, I mean, well, they're regular human boys, like 28, 29 days of the month. And then even then, you know, if it's the summer, you get the most of the day.
Exactly.
It's only the winter when you really have to worry about your monster boyfriend and her werewolf.
So what horrors would you be watching this Halloween, if you're going to be watching horrors at all?
Do you mean this Valentine's Day?
What did I say? Halloween? Yep. That goes.
It's always Halloween in your heart.
Halloween. It is. I mean Valentine's Day.
Oh God, I don't know. As you always ask this question, I always come unprepared. I want to check out Baghead for some reason. Mm-hmm. The poster just calls to me.
Okay.
But like, I like a classic, kind of, you know, like a Fay Wray screaming in the clutches of King Kong, I think, on a Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Cool. Yeah.
You know, or something that can like wants to make you snuggle up, like something that really spooks you. So you're like, oh no, hold me. I'm so scared. So for me, that would be like Asian horror, like proper K or J horror. Not the most romantic. Like watching Ju-on, I'm just like behind a cushion.
Yes, definitely.
What about you?
I don't know. Probably something that is completely like left turn and something like really disturbing.
Audition.
Yeah, Audition. That's a good call. Yeah, yeah. Audition.
The All Romances.
High tension. Oh,
Raw.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, Titane, that's a creative catch. Yes, they would be mine. I mean, obviously we've covered before, like My Bloody Valentine, obviously, Bride of Chucky, etc.
Bride of Frankenstein, one of the best horror movies ever made.
Yeah,
a classic Valentine's watch,
definitely. Okay, thanks for coming on and discussing these two possible films, possibly.
One of them is definitely possible, and then the other one, it's got like, I don't know, man.
I think I might have given it like 2 on Letterboxd, a rating of 2. Life After Death,
so I'm pretty sure I gave it 1. I am not on Letterboxd, but I have my own like tracker. I'm pretty sure I gave it 1. I could have given you 0, would have. And I could have. This is my own rating system.
Yeah, it's just like,
I am beholden to no one.
Where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at The Ruby Noir, wherever you are inclined to social media.
Okay. That's it. You're like,
that's it. I'm The Ruby Noir on everything, pretty much, with the exception of Facebook, I think, where I'm Ruby Noir IRL.
Okay.
Ireland, not in real life. Depends on how online you are. And you can find me physically at Pandora's Box in Dunleary this coming Saturday if you are in that area and so inclined to come out.
So that was my special Valentine's Day chat there with Ruby Noir about Warm Bodies and Life After Beth, as we talk about possibly the ethics of loving a zombie. I really hope you enjoyed this very first episode back for season 3. As I said, Movies, Murder and Mayhem is also coming out this week, in which we discuss the true stories behind Dead Ringers as well as The Frighteners. And season 3 is going to be a banger. Got some great guests coming up, some great themes and subjects. So yeah, I'm really excited to get going again. Don't forget to follow us on social media, on Instagram, at What I Scream, on Twitter, @What_Scream, and I'm also on TikTok as well, at What I Scream Podcast. And as well, I finally have a website. It is www.whatascreampodcast.com, and you can keep up with the podcast there. You can also keep up with reviews and editorials. So go check that out, please. I'm so proud of it. My dear long-suffering husband helped me put it together. Just keep an eye on it. There'll be lots of things coming pretty soon. Don't forget to rate and review, subscribe, whatever platform you are listening to this on. And as always, stay horrific. Goodbye.